It's the CoopaCast brought to you by Pure Nintendo. Trev here, and I'm joined as always by Justin.
Hey, everyone.
And all the way from the land down under, we have Gemma with us as well.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
And we're really excited this episode because this is going to be the first of what we hope is sort of a Zelda retrospective for the 35th anniversary. We're going to be going through the games individually. And starting off this episode with the two NES titles, The Legend of Zelda, and I guess if we have time left, The Adventure of Link, but we'll see how that goes. So I thought we could kick it off, starting with, and I'll probably start with you, Justin. When did you first play the original Legend of Zelda, and what were your early impressions?
Oh, man. Well, I don't know the exact year that I first played it, but I was born in 1986 when the game came out in the U.S., so obviously didn't play it the year that it came out, but I do remember my family getting a Nintendo Entertainment System. I think it might have been in 89. Again, I was still pretty young, but I think I remember it was my older brothers. I've got two older brothers. I think they got like a bundle. My parents got one for Christmas. I think it was the one that came with maybe Duck Hunt and Mario Brothers 3. I think there's like a two-pack of that. And I think we got Zelda shortly after. It might have been at the same holiday too. So probably when I first played it, it was probably like 92, 93. I was probably 6 or 7. And I remember just, you know, seeing my older brothers playing it and, you know, just being excited to try and play something they were playing. I didn't always understand where to go or what to do, but, I remember just being, you know, enthralled with it every time I got a chance to play. And, anyways, it was, I don't recall that I beat it till later in life, probably when I was, you know, 9 or 10 or maybe even a teenager, but I do remember playing it quite a bit, even at a young age.
Nice. Now, Gemma, I know from talking with you that The Legend of Zelda is sort of a special place in your video gaming history.
Definitely, yes. I think, it's sort of similar to Justin in that it was a gift, I guess, for my dad. So he bought the Nintendo Entertainment System for the family for Christmas in, I think it was 89. And it was just my sister and I and my mom and my dad. And my sister and I, we were probably a little bit older than you, Justin, so we were maybe like 5 or 6, sort of around that age, old enough to play. It was really my mom who was actually really into Zelda, and so she got me right into it, and the two of us would stay up late, you know, late for a six-year-old, playing this amazing immersive game. So I actually thank Zelda and Mario, because we got that double pack. We got Mario Brothers and Zelda, the first Zelda, with the NES. And so they introduced me to computer games and to Nintendo. And so it sort of started my whole lifelong love of Nintendo and of those series. And I remember being, immersed in this world. It was because Zelda was such a different experience, I guess, to Mario, which was that kind of, you know, level by level kind of platforming series, which I also love, by the way. But in Zelda, it's almost like from a 1989 perspective, it was like an open world to a little kid where you could just go exploring and, you know, finding dungeons and finding hidden caves and collecting hearts and rupees and beating Ganon. I mean, we did it. My mom and I did it. We completed the game together, and it's just such a fond memory for me. I'm not even sure I can explain well enough how important that game is in my gaming history, but yeah, it's definitely. Did you guys remember this? There was like a, was it like a fold out map in your kind of game cartridge kind of instruction area? I feel like there was this big map you could unfold.
If you were smart enough to hang on to the packaging.
Yeah. Yes. And it had like the core kind of scenes in the center. You know, where you start off in the cave with the old man and then the few areas around it. And then the rest were like blank and you could kind of fill them out as you went along, kind of like you do in the game itself. And I remember just being that kind of, I don't know, real life version of the map and the virtual version of the map kind of tied together. Just it was just wonderful as a child, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny hearing both you and Justin talking about when you get the NES. To those listening, I didn't actually know this until tonight, but apparently we all got the Nintendo Entertainment System in 1989.
Right.
That's pretty wild
coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's when I picked up my NES, and Zelda wasn't my first game, but it was one of the first. But I was trying to remember. I think I picked mine up from the video games, the video store used to sell NES games. And I didn't have the manual. I didn't have the map. I might have had a Nintendo Power, but it was mostly trade and tips with kids at lunch or on recess. And it probably took me years to beat the game, actually. But it was just... I think the memory that struck me the most is just the map seemed to go on forever. Mm-hmm. And of course now we look at it now and it's like, you know, it's like, whoa, you know, a tiny section of Breath of the Wild maybe, but but back at that time there was nothing like it, especially because I didn't have the map. So it was just my imagination and I would try to go along the outskirts and just, I think at one time I even tried to make my own map on graph paper. Yeah. It did not go as well as I envisioned it, but yeah, I left a vivid impression. There was nothing like it.
Trev, that's hilarious that you made a map on graph paper. We did the exact same thing. my brothers and I, we tried to make like a almost like a larger zoomed in version, you know, so we're like, hey, what if we made one where, you know, every screen was a piece of graph paper, you know? So I think it was a little ambitious, but
I hope you had a big living room floor.
Yeah, I don't think we completed it at that scale, but so I think we scaled back later on. But it was just so cool to it's one of the few games I remember trying to like write notes down, you know. I know some of the DS games you had that kind of built in, you know, like Phantom Hourglass and you know, some of those games had kind of that built-in note-taking capability. But man, back in you know, early 90s playing that original Zelda, I mean, you're just finding things. You're like, oh wow, if I pushed this, you know, gravestone over here, it did this. Like, oh wow, I gotta remember that. Or, you know, writing down the combination to get through, you know, Lost Woods or to get up to one of the dungeons, right? You had to, you know, kind of like repeated you, right? If you kept going up, so you kind of had to go to the right and the left. I forget all the combination there, but just really fun things to discover. And so, yeah, like making notes and it was just really fun. I remember, I don't know that I remember exactly when I first beat the game by myself. Like Gemma's remembering, but must have been just later on, and I've played it since then, you know, through high school and my adult life. But it's just an incredible game.
Yeah, I think the note-taking thing is really important. I think I did the same thing. So I think because of the nature of that game, because it was so vast at the time and you did need to remember these combinations or these pathways, I'm sure all of us were doing that, which is really cool.
Yeah.
To recollect that kind of, yeah. Because, yeah, the DS, like you said, had that awesome capability where you could take notes. And I used that functionality all the time in the games like Phantom Hourglass. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
All right. So this is going to be a challenge because we've already went through quite a few just recollections, but a specific favorite memory about the Zelda, maybe something from the overworld, maybe a dungeon, an item, a character. try to challenge yourself and ring yourself in with with one memory that stands out. Gemma, why don't you start us off?
That's a really good question. There's so many memories. When I was thinking about it before the podcast, I remembered playing it again on, I think it was the 3DS, like the virtual console maybe. So I hadn't played it for a long time. And then I downloaded it and played it again a few years ago. And the thing I remember playing it the second time that I'd completely forgotten about as a kid was the graveyard for some reason. I just completely forgot about this graveyard. And then when I went back to the graveyard and, you know, you touch the tombstones and ghosts come out, I remember that as a kid and being kind of on the edge of being scared by it, but it wasn't terrifying. It was just like, whoa, what is this, you know? So that's a standout memory just because it was such a creepy concept, I guess, because you never know if you're going to touch this tombstone, if this ghost is going to pop out or if it's going to be pushed aside to a secret passage or whatever, you know? That was just one simple memory that I thought of this morning, because it's morning for me, yeah.
So, that's great. Yeah, we really appreciate you joining us now.
Yeah, no, that's all good. Yeah, it doesn't seem like a huge moment in the game or anything. It's not like fighting Ganon or discovering, you know, this weapon of choice or whatever, but just that was that little memory that I'd forgotten about when I revisited it, that just, I was like, oh yeah, the graveyard, I remember that. It brought back all these kind of feelings. It was, yeah, it also goes with the whole game and how different it is in this overworld, even though we've spoken about how it is pretty limited, really. There's a finite area and there's a boundary, but at the time it seems so expansive. And, you know, you've got your deserty kind of area, you've got your watery kind of area, you know, the caves and the mountains, and then a graveyard in the middle of nowhere. It was just, to me, it just really stood out as this kind of interesting, piece of information that, yeah, I hadn't really come across before as a kid. So,
Oh, that's true. Even getting to the graveyard, I mean, that was a challenge in itself. What was it, like up, left, down, left, or something like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those combinations Justin was talking about.
Yeah, there's a couple of them.
Probably
in the game.
Written down.
Mm-hmm. And then you see the sword, and it's like, master using it, and you can have it, and you're like, you don't have enough heart pieces, and you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
Right there, and you just can't do it. Anyway, thanks for sharing that, Gemma. How about you, Justin?
Trying to think of one specific one. I do remember pretty vividly, you know, when you get the ability to, there's like different bushes that you can burn, like you get that candle. And as soon as you find out that you can do that and you find some secrets, and obviously you end up finding a dungeon with that method, I remember like going around to like every bush or tree that I could find and just spamming it, you know, I'm like, all right, there's gotta be a secret here, you know? So I think I remember even like trying to like tally which screens I had tried it on, you know, like, all right, okay, I've tried it on all the trees on this screen. Okay, and then I do remember there being like a random one that I think most people probably found, but there was like, it was like water on the top part of the screen and then beach in the middle and then trees on the bottom. And I think you can burn one of the trees there. I think it was basically on the way to the first dungeon, I believe, but anyways, like I remember at least that one, and then of course the one with the dungeon later on. I don't know if that was the fifth or sixth dungeon. It's been so long, but I do remember just, you know, vividly like keeping track of where all I had tried this ability, and I think that's just really cool. That's something about Zelda games even later. You know, there's always something that kind of changes the gameplay fundamentally, like how you traverse the world or how you interact with it, that just made the Zelda games just so, it like connected you to the world that much more, you know.
Even gave you an excuse to go back and do those areas again, because you've been through those areas so many times, but now you've got a reason to go back and try something different in those areas.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit like bombing. I used to bomb all the cave walls as well, just to see if I could find it hidden.
I used to do that with the sword. You know, like you could like hold your sword out and then you could kind of like poke the walls, you know, and it would make like a different sound. I was basically, I called it like sword dousing, you know, you're like you're just kind of trying to ping.
Not to be confused with a Skyward Sword.
Exactly. Sword dousing. Exactly. Yeah. Not to be confused.
It's funny when you guys are talking about this, it reminds me, I checked out on Switch Online, you know, they have Zelda available, but they also have, I think it's like Zelda SP, where basically somebody's already played it. They create a restore point, so you can start off. You already have, you know, the better sword. You already have a lot of rupees. I think you have like maybe the blue ring or something. But going through that, a lot of the burn spots, the bomb spots, are already like done for you.
Oh, interesting.
And even though I played the game so many times, like. Jen, my wife, who also has played the game a lot, we're walking around, we're like, wow, did you ever know that was a bomb area? Huh. It's like, no. You know, so even 30 plus 35 years later, you know, still finding, you know, and then you bomb the guy and he's like, pay me for the door.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, there's all these little things that, I didn't know some of that. I do remember trying to bomb maybe some of the shopkeeper, like it would shoot fire from the torches, right? Or shoot the little...
Yes.
I think even if you use your sword on them or something too, but...
I think one of the things that stuck out to me, Overworld was absolutely amazing, but obviously this Zelda didn't have aim dungeons like we become accustomed to. Mm-hmm. You know, with the exception of the final level, they all had the same music.
Yeah.
Generally the same kind of look. I mean, they were shapes, I think.
Yeah. But they had different colors, Trev. Different colors.
That's true. Yeah. And I was thinking the buildup, like to even to get to the dungeon, like a lot of people when they talk about dungeons, they're solely talking about once you're in the dungeon. But like level 5, just going up the mountain like 4 times to get there in what seems like an endless loop, and then you get there. Or the warp whistle there from Mario, and it's like the lake opens up, or you take a raft and you float out in the ocean. It's like, those are the memories that stick with me. It's like, you know, you don't just walk into, you know, a dungeon. It takes effort to even find them. Mm-hmm. You know, never mind the challenges inside. And that's,
yeah. It's like a two-step challenge.
Yeah.
Well, it is, because it's like after that first dungeon, you know, the tree there, it's like, again, I didn't have the map, you know, that I think maybe showed you the first few. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm just wandering around and, you know, things you wouldn't necessarily think of, you know, it's like, oh, surprise. So, I tell you.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling though to find it though. That's for sure.
Yeah, it really is. And then it's like, oh boy, I wonder if my friends have found this one yet. Now, obviously we're all in this. Oh, go ahead, Justin.
Well, yeah, that was back in the day where you had to. You had to just share stories on the playground, so to speak. You couldn't, there wasn't really, you know, game FAQs or, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of resources online or, you know.
Or even online.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you had the beginnings of some, you know, online communities, but not quite what it became later in the 90s, but.
I was going to say, I mean, in some ways it's a lot more rewarding, you know, like now when you get stuck in a game, it's really tempting to just look up, you know, a YouTube video or a walkthrough that shows you how to get past this particular section that you're stuck in. Whereas you just didn't have a choice back then. You just have to stick it out or get advice from a friend, I guess, in the playground. But it was, if you did stick it out and you did find that, you know, that dungeon opening, I mean, that was really rewarding. I do try not to look up, you know, pathways and stuff if I can help it. It's only if I'm really super mega frustrated.
Yeah.
Or maybe I have a review that Trev's chasing me for that I'm like, I need to get this done.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do Nintendo Power? Did they even have Nintendo Power when you were a kid?
They did. Yeah. I had a couple of issues. I don't know where I got them or how. I just remember having them. So maybe it came with a game, or maybe my dad got them for me or something. But I definitely remember having a couple of issues. Yeah. absolutely. Maybe that started my
love for magazines.
Magazines, yeah.
If I wanted a tip, it's like, and I don't even think I had maybe like the Zelda issue per se. It was just like, I think they called it Counselor's Corner. And it'd be like a random question, like, you know, how do I beat this boss? Or, and they'd give you a tip. And I'd be like, oh, scouring the pages looking for little tidbits.
Yeah, see, it was probably later for me. It was probably more the Super Nintendo era and the sort of mid to late 90s where I had, I think Super Play was my magazine of choice, which I think was a UK kind of publication. We didn't have a lot in Australia, but we had the official Nintendo ones, and then there was heaps of UK ones for some reason. So that was my go-to for things like that, but not during the NES era, unfortunately.
Of course, now if anyone wants tips, they turn to P&M.
That's right.
Intent. Obviously, we're all nostalgic for this game, but trying to look at it with our gaming acumen, 35 years on, you know, the game obviously has dated elements. I mean, others have done it better, and that's how it should be. You know, ideally, every sequel should be better than the game that came before it, but just looking at this game, what are your feelings now? Is this still a game that, you know, you pick up and play? Is it more of a game you look at with respect, but you're not inclined to go back? Like for somebody, you know, a new player, like Gemma with your kids, like, could you see them picking this game up and enjoying it?
I'd like to think so. That's a great question because they haven't. We play a lot of Mario, which is my other love. So the two loves that I have, Zelda and Mario. But we haven't played a lot of Zelda. I do have. What have I got? The little Super Nintendo, that little thing. What do you call it?
Oh, the mini classic.
Yeah, the mini, which has Zelda: A Link to the Past on it. So we've got that one, which I also love. In fact, I think it's a great kind of upgrade, I suppose, to the original Zelda. You know, with the top-down style and everything. But we'll obviously talk about that another time. but, yeah, I think, like I said, I did play it a few years ago on my DS, and I loved revisiting it. I just loved it. And I guess a lot of it was nostalgia, but rediscovering where everything was again, because I didn't remember everything, you know, very well, I still found it to be a really good game. I mean, I think a lot of games today still base themselves on that kind of retro vibe, don't they? They kind of look back to those old games and for inspiration and kind of even try to emulate that style. So I think it still has a place. I have to run it by my kids and see if they get quite as excited as I do. But now they've been exposed to so much more at their age than I had at that age.
Yeah,
I feel like maybe it's, I don't know, maybe they'll look at it and think, oh, this is a bit simple, or I don't know. It's a good question. I have to run it by them and let you know. But I
tune in next week for the answer.
Yeah, that's it. Tune in. Same time. I think it still has a lot of merit. Like, it still stands up as a solid game. Simple by today's standards, but still complex enough to be worth playing. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's definitely still. You know, granted, I have a lot of nostalgia for it, but I do think it's still such a great game to this day. I did, the last time I played through it, I believe was just after Breath of the Wild. I was kind of revisiting some older Zelda games and, as you guys know, Breath of the Wild was kind of interesting for me. I was so anticipating it, and it was such an incredible game. But, you know, there were certain things I was just missing from those classic Zeldas. And I totally support them and, you know, what they were trying to do in the different ways. But I remember them talking about kind of going back to the original Zelda was kind of an inspiration for Breath of the Wild, but so I was like, well, I'm going to revisit it. Let's play through the original one again. And Katie played along with me, and man, it was just still so incredible. And I still enjoyed the dungeons and the bosses, and you know, like there's aspects about even the original Zelda game that I enjoyed more than, you know, Breath of the Wild, you know, like I missed some of those, you know, Zelda conventions a little bit, but anyways, so I maybe I just have ultra nostalgia for it, but it's still just such a great game. And I think it holds up so well. Like when you see people ranking, you know, Zelda games or games from any series, it's always so hard because it's like, you know, how do you compare a 2D game to a 3D game, or, you know, a game that just has so much more visual detail? But man, like it really just comes down to the gameplay for me, you know, like if the moment to moment gameplay, the fulfillment you get from solving puzzles or discovering things in the game, I mean, that's what it boils down to for me. So to me, I can compare 2D and 3D fairly interchangeably then. So like, there's times like when I make a list of favorite Zelda games, I don't know, I would almost put, you know, the original Zelda game, you know, like very high, you know, maybe even higher than Breath of the Wild, just because I enjoyed that formula so much. And I am excited for what they do next with Breath of the Wild. And I still did enjoy it quite a bit, but, and I don't want to make this a Breath of the Wild sidebar, but stay on target.
But also check out Justin's review.
That's right.
I've never seen a 9.5. That was so nitpicky.
I know. Oh man, I lost sleep over that. I had such a, like an inner turmoil with that. Anyways, that's again an aside. Where was I going with this? Yes, the original Zelda still holds up very well. And I think people should revisit it. I often think that, you know, like if someone's wanting to play a Zelda game for the first time, I would almost recommend them that they play that first one first before any of the other ones, just so they experience that growth of the series. Because it's so easy if you play Breath of the Wild, or if you play, you know, even a more modern Zelda game, going back to it just doesn't feel as, you know, it could feel like a regression. So I think, like, in order to get that experience of it, like a similar shared experience to people who grew up with it, it almost needs to be that first Zelda experience, and then you know, grow into the sequels from there. But anyways, not everyone has that much time, so but if you have the time, that's what I would recommend.
If anyone who thinks modern Zelda games are too easy, and I know there's some people who do, play the NES original. Yes. If you play it on Virtual Console, don't use restore points.
That's right.
Just try to get through. I think was it the sixth dungeon there with all those whiz robes?
Oh man. Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So and then get back to me.
Yeah, I always hated the whiz
robes. Back flashbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, I got PTSD now, Trevor, from that. Man, I always hated the whiz robes, and the, I always call them the pancakes, the like
legs. Yeah, they steal your, are the ones that steal your shield?
Yes.
Yes.
But I was like, the pancake stack. Rupees
weren't as easy to come by in that game, let me tell you. It's not like you can just be slicing grass and get money.
Yeah, that's true.
Really work for
I feel like there should be like a t-shirt like that. Like back in my day, it was really difficult to find rupees, you know? Something. Yeah. You didn't just find rupees in the grass. Even
rubies, I think maybe the manual might have called them that. It had a lot of...
I think so.
The translation from Japanese to English, there were some...
Oh, yeah.
I think that was one of the little typos, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
little fun. In fact, but I was just looking at, we did some polls on Twitter. The majority of our respondents, 53.7, played Zelda on an original NES like us. And surprisingly, the runner-up wasn't even listed. I had Game Boy Advance or Virtual Console, but a lot of people played it on the GameCube Collector's Disc. Uh-huh. It also had Zelda 2 and Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask. So,
yeah.
And of course that, you know, came out at the time of Wind Waker. So that was well after, you know, this came out in 86. So it was nice to see people being able to enjoy it, you know, even a decade plus later. And now in our case, you know, several decades later.
I wonder, I'd like to know what someone, you know, kind of our age, you know, who's a, I don't know if you have that much experience in the 80s, like if you were someone in the 80s who was a kind of a veteran of gaming, if that was a thing, mm-hmm. I wonder what they thought when this game came out, you know, because we saw it with fresh, you know, childlike wonder, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, you know, like I said, it introduced me to gaming. But if you were in your 20s or 30s, and this game came out and you've kind of played, you know, I don't know, Pac-Man or Space Invaders or whatever was going on back then. And then this game came out. I wonder what the reaction was. Like, was it like how we reacted to things like Breath of the Wild or, you know, Mario Odyssey, these kind of, I suppose, or maybe Mario 64 is a better analogy, being a bit more groundbreaking. But, like, I wonder if that was huge at the time.
I don't know if there was anything comparable. I mean, maybe Adventure on, like, the 2600, but...
yeah.
Even that's kind of a stretch. I mean, you're controlling a pixel running away from ducks. No, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like Zelda was really, it wasn't the originator of like action adventures, but it really is like the definitive one. Like,
yeah.
You know how like in history, somebody might invent something, but you associate it with someone else because they really made it what it was. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's with Zelda. So
yeah, it almost defined the genre. Yeah, when it came out, yeah, it would be interesting to know what people thought of it. Like, my parents didn't really play games with us a whole lot. They always supported us playing games. They always bought us, you know, Super Nintendo 64. So they, you know, I always felt pretty spoiled to you know get those game systems and games. And but they, you know, they always were just like, oh, yeah, that looks cool. You know, it was just kind of, you know, they were content to kind of watch us play. But, yeah, I do wonder what they thought of it, if they thought it was interesting or, you know, groundbreaking at the time. But
yeah. So, Gemma, check with your kids. Justin, you check with your parents.
And that's right.
Yeah.
That would be a follow-up.
That's right.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you did give me an idea, though. Oh, go ahead, Gemma.
Oh, I was going to say, my mom, like I said, my mom played Zelda with me when we first got it, so she was quite into it. And I think she had played, you know, those kind of arcade games, like I said, like Pac-Man and that sort of thing. So maybe I could ask her as well what she thought, because she actually did play it and like it. So
yeah.
Does she
still play the Zelda games? Has she kept it up, or...?
Not so much now. She was playing up until not that long ago. She had a Wii and she used to play with us. She'd come over and play, you know, the Wii U, that sort of thing. I don't think she's ever experienced the Switch because I guess with COVID and everything, we just haven't seen each other as much. But she was always into games, yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, I don't think she wouldn't have played like Breath of the Wild or anything like that. She was more into those kind of top-down Zelda titles, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You reminded me, my wife, she played the original with my dad-in-law. And, you know, he's not really a gamer. He, like, played, like, golf on the NES. But, yeah, just something about Zelda. I think it's that shared experience, even though it's a one-player game. Like, even to this day, I feel like Zelda is a terrific two-player game insofar as the person who's not controlling just enjoys watching it.
Yeah.
And they can chime in with ideas for puzzles, or you can bounce, you know, observations off each other. And
yeah, exactly.
You know, secrets like, you know, hey, check out that spot. That looks funny. Why don't you try putting a bomb there? You know, mm-hmm. And yeah. I did have a couple of ideas for revisiting because the 35th anniversary and, you know, a lot of Zelda games have been remade in HD or 3D or, you know, with extra additions. So here's my ideas for the original Zelda, and you guys can let me know what you think about them. Idea one, you take the SNES online version of Zelda. I think it was the the Saddle of You or something was an updated Zelda. Bring that to maybe Switch Online. Let us play the original Zelda with those SNES visuals. For the talk Justin did about Breath of the Wild, there was a 2D prototype, Breath of the Wild, based on the original Legend of Zelda. Give us that. Even if it's like a $9.99 eShop download or something. And my last idea, Zelda Maker, like Mario Maker. Let us build a Zelda game. Do you guys like any of those? Do you like all of them? Do you have ideas of your own? Justin, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I like those, Trev. I like that that Breath of the Wild 2D prototype they had in the original Zelda art style was fantastic. So I think that would be really cool. Like if you know, adding some of the other physics effects from that they had in that prototype, that would be pretty fun. It would be cool if they did a Zelda Maker 2, like if it was strictly just the 2D style, right? And you had maybe...
Yeah, I think it'd have to be.
Yeah, and you did maybe original one. I don't know if you need Adventure of Link style, but do Link to the Past, maybe Minish Cap as well, to do some of the highlights of the... Maybe Link's Awakening as a fourth option. But if you did all of those are all fairly diverse top-down 2D Zelda styles, that would be very interesting. I know they almost experimented with that in the Link's Awakening Switch re-release. They had where you could build your own dungeons in there. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty cool. So I think that maybe gave us a glimpse of, maybe they were testing the waters out a little bit. Obviously, creating a Zelda game is a bit more complex than creating Mario levels, but if you constrain it to 2D, that could just be really cool. Like, and if you had the same art style, I could see people like maybe recreating, like if they gave you all the tools to recreate the first game in there or had the first game playable, that would be a really cool way for people who've never experienced it, get to play it and then simultaneously, maybe try their own spin on it. Kind of like the NES Remix titles where, maybe it's like, oh, yeah, use the raft to get to a different, area instead of getting to that one dungeon, like almost like shuffling or rearranging maybe Zelda games. I don't know. So they could do maybe a Remix style or Maker style. I don't know. But I like those ideas. The Satellaview one, I'm not familiar with that port at all, but I'd certainly be open to more versions of it being available.
Yeah, I love those ideas, Trev. I think I would use all of them. I love the.
Are you Zelda, listening, Nintendo?
I feel like Zelda Maker has a lot of potential. I think we've seen how popular Super Mario Maker was and this is something, my kids are really into like Minecraft and Roblox and things that are kind of those sandbox games where you can build, and they love Mario Maker. They just love it so much. They play it way more than I do. I play the levels that they make. they make me like a whole world of levels, like 1-1, 1-2, and there's like with 100 Goombas and ghost houses and all these things, and they're like, do you want an easy, medium, or hard level? And I'm always like, hard. But they make it impossible anyway.
I was going to say, you're just asking for the punishment.
I know. There's just like a ghost house with booze just everywhere. It's insane. But I love it. And it's
awesome.
And they love it. I think that's what this generation is really into. And I feel like a Zelda Maker game would just be very popular, and I would love to play levels that people design. I'm not really much of a builder myself. Like, I love Mario Maker, but it's just like I take too long to build the levels. I think about it too much. I plan it out too much. Whereas they just jump in. The kids just jump in and build this level. Like, boom, boom, boom. Here you go. Here's a level. I'm like, cool. All right, I'll play it. So I'd probably be more interested in playing Zelda Maker levels that people make. But I love the concept, and I love. So some people are so creative with these ideas. Like, you look at the Mario Maker levels that people come up with.
Yeah.
They're so creative and inventive, and I can just imagine how many wizrobes would be in a dungeon in one Zelda Maker level. It would be insane. Yeah. I think there's so much potential there, really. I love it. And the Breath of the Wild 2D version would be super cool to play. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I am probably more of a top-down Zelda fan than a 3D fan. Like, I love both of them. Mm-hmm. But maybe because my first couple of Zelda games were the original one and then the SNES one, they really hold that nostalgic value to me. So I love those versions. So when they bring out, you know, when they brought out the 3DS game, that was like, this is so cool. I love this. This is great. So
oh, yeah, that was awesome.
any more top-down Zelda, I would totally go for immediately. Like, I would just be there for that. So, yeah, I think it's got a lot of potential.
Oh, that's good. Do have to move on. I'm looking at the time. We spent probably over 40 minutes on the first Zelda, which leaves us maybe, I don't know, 12 minutes for Adventure of Link.
That's fine. That's fine.
I know, Justin, I know, talking from beforehand, you and I aren't too keen on this. Jim, remind me, do you have a strong opinion either way on the sequel?
I did have the game, and I remember playing it with a friend, and he really liked it. He was really into it. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it either. I guess I was just, it was jarring at first because it was so different to the first one. And I think I've been thinking about it a lot this morning because of obviously this conversation that we're having. And it seems like it was a really good idea or a risky but a good idea at the time in terms of, you know, we made this really great game. Rather than just copy it and do a sequel, let's try something new. It may not have paid off, but in a way, I know it's not 3D at all. It's kind of more 2D with that platforming style, but it kind of paved the way for thinking about Zelda in a different way, or the Zelda series in a different way. So it didn't have to be a top-down style, and eventually we moved to the 3D style. So I feel like it still has a place. It still kind of sits nicely in the, you know, the evolution of the Zelda games. I do remember it being really hard, though. And that kind of put me off a little bit. So, like I said, it was just kind of jarring at first. I feel like I have such mixed opinions on this game, isn't it? And I think it is the dark horse of the series. I really should go back and revisit it, though. Yeah, sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, no, I'm just agreeing with you. I think it's funny. I was looking at the reader polls. We had a poll on Zelda 2 as well. They got exactly half the amount of votes the first game got, so I don't know if that says anything in terms of popularity, but how do you feel about it on the NES? 26.5%, misunderstood classic, 17.6%, too radical an experiment, and the winner with almost 56%, I Am Error, which I put in just for a joke. And it won. So,
yeah,
good for that. But talking about mixed opinions, Justin, share some with some of the listeners, some of your thoughts on this game.
Yeah, I echo some of Gemma's thoughts on it. I do remember it being difficult when I first played it, and that kind of turning me off of it. And it was just so different. Like the random battle encounters in the overworld were strange to me.
I did not enjoy those either.
Yeah, like that was like almost the biggest barrier to me, like getting through it. Because like the towns were interesting, and you know, seeing characters, I was like, man, this is, you know, for the time from what they did with the first game to this one, it's like, wow, the character models, like things have. It was that much more immersive, right? You had these NPCs in these towns and, and certainly like the combat was more in depth, you know, than obviously the original. But man, to Gemma's point, I'm glad they did that. I'm glad they took that risk because I think it did pave the way for, you know, future risk taking in the series. Like it almost like set the precedent, like, you know, hey, let's try different things, you know, like when Wind Waker had that controversial art style, like I'm so glad that Nintendo, you know, takes risks even with their largest franchises, you know, like, hey, let's make Paper Mario, you know, let's put Mario in an RPG. Let's have, you know, Bowser and Peach and Mario all joking in an RPG. Like there, I just love that, you know, they're able to have fun with it. You know, I feel like sometimes in other video game franchises, you know, that aren't Nintendo, it's not always the case, but some franchises take themselves a little too seriously and they become very rigid, you know, like we obviously think of the Zelda conventions and, you know, they kind of, you know, just in some respects got a bit rigid, you know, prior to Breath of the Wild. But man, you look at some other series out there and it's like, man, they're very cookie cutter, you know, in, even compared to like a Zelda game. So, yeah, I love the risk taking that they did with it. I'd be open to try it again. I do need to, you know, I've got the Switch online. I'll have to, give it another go. Cause I have never beaten it. And I think that's the only, you know, Zelda game other than the CDI games, which should not be mentioned, but, the only Zelda game, like core Zelda game that I have not beaten. And so that seems like something I should do at some point, but,
anyway. Your gaming bucket list.
Yeah,
exactly. I feel the same. Maybe I have, you know, Switch Online as well. So maybe I should actually give it another go. Cause it's been a long time since I played that game. And it'd be interesting to see it with, I guess, refreshed eyes and from a 2021 perspective and see what I think.
Yeah. Well, maybe if we're both playing, it'll keep us motivated, Gemma. we can encourage one another and be like, hey, are you playing through it? Oh yeah. Yeah. I'll get on that.
Sounds good to me.
That's good for you guys. I don't think I'll be joining you, but I think you guys had some fair points. You know, I do. There's things I like. It has great music. I really like the towns because, you know, this version of Hyrule felt less desolate. But and Link could jump, which, you know, I think was cool. And I think, you know, to some extent, we'd see a little bit of that here and there. Like Link's Awakening certainly had that. But I didn't like the RPG style fighting. I just felt like it discouraged me from exploring. Because in the original Zelda, you know, I enjoyed the combat, but if you wanted to run by the guys, you know, you could do that. Mm-hmm. In this one, it is almost like a mandatory, like you have to grind it out. And but I will say one thing I did enjoy about this game after the fact is the, and I think Justin might have mentioned this earlier, the NES Remix style challenges that they had for this game. I really enjoyed them. And it just makes me think of maybe adopting that style with like almost every Zelda game have NES style challenges or N64, you know, GameCube challenges where they just take little scenes and be like,
I love that idea. Definitely. Yeah.
I think that's a lot of potential. And maybe I think once people play something like that, they'll be like, man, I want to check out the full game because that's the natural follow up, right? So my question now, not really specific about Adventure of Link, but just the style it used, the template, would you guys like to see that revisited in like a newer Zelda or like a Zelda spinoff or a one-shot deal? Or do you think it's, you know, what was in the 80s stays in the 80s?
Do you think it could work well, not as another full game, but like you're playing a new Zelda game, just top down or 3D, doesn't matter. And then you enter an area and suddenly you're kind of just in this brief 2D style, just like that Zelda 2 game. Kind of like how in, is it Mario Odyssey where they have little levels where Mario kind of suddenly is in this little platforming
area? Yeah.
Yeah?
Those are a lot like of that. Fun. Like,
yeah, pixel like that. Kind of like little bonus-y kind of things where it's just, it's not the full game, but it's kind of a nod to the past and kind of a wink to the past for the fan of, not well, fans, but to the people who've played it and know it, and they can go, hey, I know that. That's cool. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, I think, it would be interesting to, revisit it a little bit. And I don't know. I got sidetracked when you said a wink to the past, and I'm like, man, that's a really funny phrase.
We gotta trademark that.
I know. You like that? I was like, a wink to the past. Oh man, it writes itself.
I've been waiting to say that the whole time.
Sorry, what was the question before that? That really threw me off.
It was whether you wanted to see that style, that 2D style revisited in future Zelda titles.
Yeah, I could see maybe something like that, like the side-scrolling combat. There's been some interesting games that have done that well, and I could almost see it like Metroid Other M. I actually really enjoyed Metroid Other M. I know that, you know, that's an unpopular opinion, but there are some fun aspects to it, at least. I kind of liked the 2D/3D gameplay, and some of those side-scrolling sections were pretty interesting. I think you could do kind of a, you know, 3D rendered but still 2D perspective Zelda game like that, and that could be interesting. But yeah, I don't know if it's a full title or if it's some sort of an experiment or, you know, GameCube remix or something, you know, like they take Twilight Princess art style and make it 2D for certain sections, or I don't know. But other than that, there have been some, you know, kind of modern games that have gone to that style. I remember Elliot Quest. You remember that one? I think that was on Wii, maybe. I think that may have been a WiiWare title, but Elliot Quest, I really enjoyed as a game that adopted that Zelda 2 template and did it really well, I think. So I think it can be done. Get rid of the random battles and you'll be far ahead from where it was.
Definitely, yeah.
You reviewed that on Wii U, Justin. I just looked it up. And
Wii U, okay.
Apparently, they also ported it to 3DS a couple years after the Wii U.
Okay, yeah.
So, nice. Cool. Yeah, it's interesting, the adventure. Sometimes people will debate, is Zelda an RPG? Is it an action adventure? And put me in the latter camp, I don't think it's, you know, there's a few RPG elements, but I just don't think that design, I feel like it's in conflict with the spirit of the game to some extent, mm-hmm. where you just have, what did Miyamoto call it? Like, you know, this garden where you can just go anywhere, and I feel like that style is like, no, you can't go anywhere or you're going to get killed. You got to go on this path. And I just don't know, but I respect it for changing the formula. I mean, Nintendo really did that in the NES days. I mean, and this one didn't do it for me, but I mean, I look at a game like Super Mario 2, which I absolutely love, and you know, there was other changes. I mean, I think Castlevania 2 was another big one that mixed things up, and it's like, you know, you had to do that. That was like the Wild West days of video gaming, you know, so kudos to them for trying it. But I'm also grateful that they went back to top-down for A Link to the Past, which is going to be our next KoopaCast game we discuss. And I suspect we're going to have standing room only maybe for that episode, because that's a hugely popular game.
Oh, man. Definitely. Yeah. We can fill an hour easily.
Yeah, just a couple minutes, just in case the same group isn't on for the next one. Just give a little tease on what you think of that game, like a minute or less, Gemma.
I love that game so much. It's probably one of my favorite games of all time. I remember playing it after school, running home and just wanting to play this game. The Super Nintendo in general, huge fan, my favorite console. So lots of good memories. I just remember the rainfall, you know, at the start, just that atmospheric feel of it. Yeah. Love, love, love it.
Oh, well said. Do you concur, Justin?
Oh, yeah. Man, it's probably one of my favorites of all time, and definitely one of my favorite Zelda games. I love how immersive it was. The the music, the just even the sound effects, that I can still hear the, you know, the clinking of your sword against the dark nuts with the shields, and man, there's just so much detail in that game. I love the rain. I love any rain in any video game, really. Like, if they do the rain well, man, that just again, it just connects me to that world and immerses me in it. I think of Metroid Prime, the first Metroid Prime, really immersing you in that world from, you know, the first little bit. So Link to the Past did the same. So
yeah, totally forgot to chime in. I also like Metroid Other M. But back to the topic of Zelda. I think that's one of the best compliments I can pay to Zelda on the NES, is that it really paid it forward, because I look at A Link to the Past, even Link's Awakening to extent, and certainly A Link Between Worlds, you know, all the great things that those games do, foundation was laid on the humble NES. So
absolutely.
Yeah, and that's one of the great things about Zelda. It's like, just well, I don't want to get into a whole nother rant because we only got a couple minutes left. But stay tuned for that episode next time. And Justin, I'll let you go ahead and can wrap up this episode.
All right. Well, man, thanks again, Gemma and Trev, for joining us. And thanks to all our listeners that have been tuning in. And hope to do more of these series on future Zelda games. So we'll see you next time.
It was fun.
Thank you. That was very fun.